Amen. Hey, we got backup, praise God. Yeah. We don't just record these services, praise God. We thoroughly record. We got about four people recording the services now. It's better to be here live.
That's right.
It really is.
It is.
Hallelujah.
Very true.
But the king, this worldly king, he sees Daniel astonished. He sees Daniel, his thoughts troubling him. And the king speaks, and the king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Now, in other words, the king says, you know, let it rip, Tater Chip. He said, I can handle it. Bring it on. And Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. He said, I wish this didn't pertain to you. I wish this interpretation belonged to someone else,
yeah.
King Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel had a good spirit. Matter of fact, the Bible said he had a different spirit. Let's see here. He had a perfect spirit, I think.
Contrite, wasn't it?
Hold on a minute here. Never can find nothing when you're looking for it. But anyway, he had a good spirit about him. My wife, she had that woman on TV this morning that does it cooking out there in Texas. I can't think of her name, but she's got a good spirit. I like a kind of red-headed woman, and she talks, you know, while she's cooking and everything. I don't know the name of the program or nothing. He had an excellent spirit. I can't find it. But Daniel chapter 1, it said Daniel had an excellent spirit.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's kind of manifested in this desire that he has not to give the interpretation to King Nebuchadnezzar, because this dream pertains to King Nebuchadnezzar. So verse 20, he does what the king says, and he just lets it rip. He said, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. Listen to verse 22. It's thou, O king.
Right.
You know, Nathan, David, he committed adultery with Bathsheba.
Yeah.
And he thought he had the thing pretty much covered up. But the Bible does say, I believe it's in Numbers 32:23, be sure of this, your sin will find you out.
Right.
But anyway, here comes Nathan the prophet. He gives the king a little old parable here. It makes the king mad. And you know what? He got so mad. He said, the man that's done this shall surely die, and he'll restore fourfold. And Nathan said, you're the man.
Right.
And that's kind of what this is right here. He said, you're the one, O king, that art grown, verse 22, and become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher, I'm glad somebody is watching over me, amen.
Amen.
Yes. I want you to know I need it, amen.
Amen, we do.
I've had a lot of things to happen in my life that God superseded, kind of like the testimony Sister Bonnie just gave about her granddaughter and her boyfriend going to New York and made it back safe.
Yes.
Grandson, and a guy you might know, I'll get that mixed up. Grandson and his girlfriend went to New York, made it back safe.
Yes.
The providence of God is for good. And you know what? God loves us. And been many times God's intervened. Donnie can tell you a few of them that, you know, somebody wasn't there, or, you know, we didn't make it or whatever, and come find out we was better off not being there and better off not making it. But the providence of God, and he says, whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. I'm going to stop there just a minute. You know, the Bible says the goodness of the Lord leads men to repentance. Even in judgment, God is merciful. He lets his king live. Even though this king, he don't get the message, he don't really receive this interpretation. It just kind of went over his head. But God being merciful to him, kind of like dragging Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, let him live. He said, this is 24, this is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king. Daniel's given honor to this heathenistic king. And you know, this heathenistic king, he gave a decree in Daniel chapter 3 about whoever don't fall down and worship his image will be cast into the fire. And you know, that decree, it held up till God intervened. Well, this decree come from someone higher than him. And Daniel says, this is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king. Verse 25, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. Seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You see, God had gave King Nebuchadnezzar even his position. Mm-hmm. He may not regard the God of heaven. He may not know the God of heaven like I do personally, or you know, someone else. But he does need to know that someone is above him.
Right.
The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You know, when it comes to ruling, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, it talks about the last words of a king named David. And it said, now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, the man who was raised up on high. God put David in the position of king, the anointed of God, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men, his two requirements must be just. Boy, I'm all for term limits. I do believe we've got some unjust in leadership in our government right now. David said, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And there's another qualification I believe is missing, the just part of it and the fear of God part of it. But in this case here with King Nebuchadnezzar, which is true with all the kings of our day, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You know, I was having trouble praying for our present president.
Yeah.
And I finally got peace about it, because for all I know, and I don't know a whole lot, I'll confess that, God may have put him there on purpose, mm-hmm, to judge this country, as wicked as it is, that it might wake up. I, you know, I'm just making a statement. This is not etched in stone.
Right.
But who am I to say anything about what God does?
Amen.
To clear that up a little bit, let me go real quick here where it might make some sense. In Acts chapter number 5, the warning of Gamaliel. He's a Pharisee, and he's a doctor of the law, and he had a reputation of all the people, and commanded to put forth the apostles a little space. And he said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men." And he goes on and gives a discourse here. He said, "For before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400 joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed." Here's why I read all this. "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God..." That's the verse. I should have just probably read that one verse. "If it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God." Now, as Daniel's interpreting this dream and giving the king the interpretation, as he's giving him the discourse of the truth of this dream, one of the points that he makes right here in verse 25, he said, "Till you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, there was none greater than him in the kingdom. He had to say over everything except one thing. There was one above him, and he didn't acknowledge the one above him. Verse 26. "And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots thy kingdom, after thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou have known that the heavens do rule." In other words, he said, you're going to get this one way or another. You're going
That's
to understand
right.
that you've got a limited kingdom, a limited authority. And he said, "Until after you know that the heavens do rule, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, and it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." He's giving the king a warning right here. I gave a lot of people a warning. Donnie gave a man a warning this week. I mean, we all try to warn people. You're not always effective at warning them. But you know, I feel conviction if I don't try.
Right.
If I was driving down the road and I saw a house on fire. Now, most people probably would keep on driving, but I'm sitting there thinking, is there anybody in that house?
That's right.
And anybody with any compassion at all, any concern at all, will turn around and go back and make sure
Amen.
That no one is in the house. Look, we can rebuild the house.
Right.
But the souls that might be in that house, they don't know maybe that the house is on fire. They don't know maybe that they need to get out of the house. Maybe they're asleep. Maybe they took too much fentanyl like what they're doing nowadays. You know, a deputy police arrested someone that was dealing fentanyl and got exposed to fentanyl by arresting this drug dealer to the point that he passed out and they were trying to resuscitate him right there on the street. That's how dangerous this drug fentanyl is. And they say there's enough fentanyl coming across our open borders right now to kill all the people of America 10 times over.
Wow.
Now, I'm a little concerned about the I don't care crowd. I'm a little concerned about what the goal is here. I'm a little concerned about maybe we do need to wake up to what's really going on.
Yeah.
It's not all Mexicans. It's not all people seeking refuge. They've been caught Chinese and terrorists and Taliban and everything else coming across, along with drug dealings and the guy that beheaded that woman, he had been deported, I think, 3 times.
Oh my.
And come right back over here. The one, decapitated that woman, his girlfriend right there, broad daylight, and they filmed it. I think we better wake up. Well, Daniel's giving the king a warning here.
Yes.
And he says, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee." Now, the king can either accept it or reject it. He said, "I'm trying to help you, king. Let my counsel be acceptable unto thee and break off." In other words, he said, "You need to change where you're living, buddy."
Yeah.
"Break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." Daniel said, this thing could maybe get put off. The dream was sure. It was directed at King Nebuchadnezzar. It was directed by one that was more than able. You heard the testimony of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego to King Nebuchadnezzar? We know our God's able. I mean, they didn't even have any doubt in their statement at all. We know He's able. Now, whether He does or don't, we don't know that, but we know He's able. They went with God. And you know what? I think that's what we need to do today. I think we just need to go with God no matter what they throw at us. Just go with God all the way. Amen.
That's right.
Well, anyway, this king, verse 28, all of this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, how much time is that? Is that 1 year?
Yes.
So for 1 year, the king kind of maybe tiptoed around a little bit. Maybe he even pondered upon the advice of Daniel. Maybe he thought, Daniel might be right.
Could be right.
Yeah. I meet a lot of people like that. There's some of them, they're a little sarcastic. Some of them, I have to admit, they're going to get it one way or the other. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, he may not have understood how serious this dream was. He might not have understood how serious the advice of Daniel was. But at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Verse 30, the king spake and said, "Is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" That's about as high as you can exalt yourself.
Yeah.
You read the Word of God and it says God exalts the humble and resists the proud. And before pride, the Holy Spirit goes before a fall. I'm going to have to look this one up. Pride goes before destruction, I believe what I'm thinking about here. Oh no, here's what I'm like. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, melt that remnant." That's Proverbs 29, verse 1. And the king's not above God. He might have been above everybody else in the kingdom. But for a year, he kind of stayed in his bounds, evidently, walking in the palace of the kingdom. And finally, somebody said, "You give a fool enough rope, he'll hang himself." Well, anyway, finally, verse 30, he done went and blabbed it out of his mouth. The king spake and said, "Is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" That's all it took. Look at that next verse. "While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." He put his foot in his mouth.
Yeah.
While the word was in the king's mouth, there came judgment. Now, we've got a lot of King Nebuchadnezzars today. They're rich, powerful. They're in prominent position. They're elite.
Yeah.
We're peons, the little people. You know, in the eyes of God, I'm greater than they are.
Amen.
But in their eyes, I have no value, no significance. What I've got to say has no bearing, no weight to it. But boy, is the tables ever going to be turned. Hallelujah. Man, when the Lord puts that crown up on our brow and they see we're really the reward of the saints of God comes to be reality.
Yes.
When the Lord says, well done, and here they are over there saying, but, well, King Nebuchadnezzar's in one of them but moments.
Right.
He should listen.
Yes, he is.
He says, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. You talking about humility, buddy. Now, I'm going to say he probably eat the best steak in the kingdom, but he's going to get on a vegetation diet now. He's going to be eating grass like a cow, like an oxen. And seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whosoever he will. Verse 33, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. You know, the Bible says that in God we live and move and have our being. I can't even be sane without God. You know, He gives me the ability to be rational, to have a thought process, to decide whether I want to do something or whether I don't want to do something. I'm not a robot.
Yeah.
I have the ability to choose good or bad. I have the opportunity to choose good or bad. God does tell me choose good. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm like me and Brother Donnie. We eat what we shouldn't eat. And we suffer for it. But the king here, he went from steak to grass. And in an hour, verse 33, and the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. You know, that not me attitude is over.
Yeah.
Whatever attitude is over. It's reality now. You try to talk to a teenager, whatever. You know, that might have happened to you, but not me. I'm smarter than you. You know, I'm younger than you. I'm able to make my own decisions. I don't need your help. Well, that hour is over. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. We're talking 7 years of judgment here. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. They say a hog underneath an acorn tree eats the acorns but never looks up to see where they come from.
Yeah.
So Nebuchadnezzar here, he's kind of learnt the hard way that he's not as big as he thought he was, not as powerful as he thought he was. He's learnt the hard way, and he said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. You know, he got a second chance here. Would to God that all the Nebuchadnezzars out there would do like this king did. This king, he had the right reaction. After he'd done eat enough crow, enough grass, after he done been humiliated for 7 years, man, he's open to discussion. He's open to advice. And he said, and I blessed. He didn't curse. Why'd you do this to me? I thought you was a God of love. No, he said, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised. Woo! Boy, can you imagine a hedonistic king out there?
Oh, my.
He finally got his mind back, brother Ed. He said, woo! Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you. God let up the judgment he put on King Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. Sharon, he said he blessed the Most High,
yeah,
and praised,
yeah,
and honored him that liveth forever.
Yes.
He's talking right now. Mm-hmm. Carolyn, he's got the right mind now. You know, that prodigal son, he done pretty good till the money run out. He's kind of like King Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, the money's run out. That prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, Bible said he come to himself. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar, he had one of them moments. He come to himself, Bonnie. He said, you know, I ain't quite what I thought I was. I'm like everybody else. I need the Lord, amen. Jerry, that'd probably be good. That'd come to a lot of people. They just come to themselves and realize what the prodigal son and what King Nebuchadnezzar and a bunch of others in the Bible had to learn the hard way. Brother Ed, he had no problem at all praising.
That's right.
He said, mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him. I can just see Him out there right now. You know, he probably wasn't acting like a Baptist. I don't know. He might have been borderline Pentecostal. But I tell you what, he ain't ashamed no more. He's there to say, thank you! Thank you for being merciful to me.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, yeah, he had an attitude of judgment.
Yeah.
Whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. You know, it's kind of hard to argue with God. I've met a few that do. Jonah tried to.
Yeah.
He said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. And God had a little mercy on him, brought up a little gourd. And Jonah was happy about that gourd. He wasn't happy about the 126,000 people in Nineveh that repented, that didn't know their left hand or right hand, but he was happy about that little old gourd. He got under that little old gourd, and he must have had a bald head about like mine, and it kind of kept the sun off of him. He was happy about that shade there, Carolyn. And God sent a worm, and the worm killed the gourd, and Jonah got mad.
Yeah.
You know, God knows how to handle people like Jonah.
Yeah.
People like the prodigal son and like Nebuchadnezzar. He knows how to handle them. And he handled Nebuchadnezzar real good, Brother Ed. He got the message.
Yes, he did.
I mean, he got the whole load. He didn't get part, he got it all.
That's right.
His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Yeah, the king got the message. And all the inhabitants of the earth. Now, this pertains to all of us. In all, and I am an inhabitant. So far, I'm in the land of living. I may not make it through today. I don't know. I just know where I'm going to end up. I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of looking forward to going to heaven. I am. I'm not going there to visit. Glory to God. I'm going there to live. Woo!
That's right.
Can you imagine, instead of going to water and wheel day, which I'm looking forward to that too. I love slopping the hog much as anybody. Can you imagine that we plan to go to heaven today and God sounded the trumpet and next thing you know, we're here and gone.
Wow.
That's true.
We decide we're going to eat the meal we're going to eat today in heaven, in heavenly places, going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb,
hey,
going to sup with Him. I don't know what they're going to serve, but Ed, I just know it's going to be good. I ain't going to have to take nothing after get done eating for the side effects of what I eat. You know what I mean? I'm going to enjoy the meal. I'm going to say glory to God. The half ain't been told. You know what I mean? Well, there's a lot of people down here just like Nebuchadnezzar that just ain't never going to get it.
That's right.
They see in part, and the part they see is all they want to see. They don't care about nothing else. They know in part, and that's all they want to know. They don't want to know about nothing else. Boy, they're going to get the rest of the story, so much to say. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will. And I do want his will performed in my life.
Yes.
In the army of heaven, and God's not, he doesn't have to draft. As a matter of fact, buddy, his army can't even be numbered. We got these little puny armies down here and these little puny weapons down here, and we think we're a world power. We think we're a superpower. Not in his sight.
Right.
In his sight, we're reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will. And buddy, I want you to know, his will, speaking of that, thank you, Lord, for the thought, his will is in this Word of God. And it ain't hard to find it. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, he says, declaring the end from the beginning. Nothing takes God by surprise. He done got this thing all planned out. I don't know about y'all, but I've got plans today. See, I'm going to preach today, good Lord be willing. I'm teaching right now, good Lord be willing. And I'm enjoying teaching this morning. I'm probably getting more from this lesson than y'all are.
I don't know.
I'm getting it pretty fresh up here.
We are too.
But after the preaching, we're going to go up there to the water mill and have a good meal. Good Lord be willing. After that, I'm going to drop Brother Donnie off and my wife's dinner off. Then I'm going to meet a man in Bowling Green on Highway 6880 and buy a diamond ring and give it to my wife. Yeah! I told her about it. She done been... Her smartphone, it won't make it look big as it is. And she says all the small, and she's trying to do them tricks and can't do it. But on the computer, you can see it real good.
Oh my God.
I'm going to buy this 14 karat gold diamond ring, and I'm going to give it to her.
Amen.
Put it right there alongside that other one I bought and give it to her.
There you go.
And anyway, now good Lord be willing, I'll be able to do all that. But God here says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. His will is going to be done.
Yeah.
And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, nor say unto him, what doest thou? You know, they'd like to get God out of school.
Right.
They'd like to get God out of church.
Right.
They'd like to get God out of government. They'd like to get God out of, you know, everything, but they can't take God out of anything.
No.
Isn't that something?
That's right.
Why can't you, Brother Eddie? Well, I'm gonna read it to you. Colossians. It's as clear as clear can be right here if I can find the book of Colossians.
That's right.
It's as clear as you can make it. I'm there finally. This is talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. You're never going to see God apart from Jesus. Listen to that. Who is the image of the invisible God. I heard a preacher preach this morning, and it's probably good that I wasn't there because I'd have probably had to call his hand. He said, nobody can tell me what God looks like. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. But he kind of got off a little bit in left field a little bit this morning. He's my brother. But I probably would have talked to him a little bit after service. He said, nowhere in the Bible does it say anything about what God looks like. And Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. And the disciples said, we saw him, we handled him. And they knew him, they knew his voice, and they knew him, you know, and personality. But who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him, talking again about Jesus, were all things created. He's the great creator, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities, or powers, All things were created by Him and for Him. And here's the verse that I read all this for. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. You're just not going to get too far without Him. Now, I know they made an atom bomb by splitting an atom. Guess who holds the atom together? You get what I'm saying there? He holds the atom together. I'm just telling you. He's the reason everything's here today. He made it all. He's over it all. And the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to His will. In the army of heaven, He keeps them in line up there. They march in line. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand. Nobody can stop God from doing anything. Best thing to do is not get in the way. Bible tells us not be conformed, be transformed.
Amen.
Or say unto Him, what doest thou? You waste your time arguing with God. He's going to do what His Word says He's going to do. Verse 36, at the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom in excellency, or in excellent majesty was added unto me. He said, God put me back where I was after I learned my lesson. He restored my kingdom. And this is our last verse, and we'll probably stop after this verse right here. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. But he got it figured out now. It's not like it's up for discussion now. There's no doubt now. You know, even the thickest head can learn through circumstances like this king went through. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. Boy, a lot of people are going to get this same attitude adjustment. At the great white throne, they're mentioned, I think it's in Revelation 19 or 20. At the great white throne, every knee is going to bow. I done bowed my knee. Every tongue's going to confess. I done already confessed. But those that haven't bowed the knee here will bow the knee there. Those that haven't confessed here will confess there. And oh, I'm going to say there's going to be oceans of tears of people pleading, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know what? Looks like I got about 2 extra minutes back there, so I'm going to go there. You know, God declared the end from the beginning, and God said, my counsel will stand. It's Revelation chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne.
Yeah.
There's a lot of thrones down here. We had a president bow down to a king of Saudi king.
Yes,
city
did.
Trip, but anyway, I seen the video. I'm not blind. He bowed down, done the reverence to him.
Yes,
and you know, you can believe what they go to. Like I said, I saw it myself.
I did too.
It wasn't no tripping at all. But there's a greater throne than the kings down here. John says, I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it. There's somebody sitting on this great white throne, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. They're gone. And there was found no place for them. I mean, they're gone. There's nothing but a great white throne. No place to hide. No place to run. Verse 12 of Revelation chapter 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now the Nebuchadnezzars. Now Nebuchadnezzar, I have to admit, he did repent. He did praise and extol and honor the God of heaven. You know, I'll let God make the call on that. I'm not nobody's judge. And you know, when it comes to judgment, Jesus said, think not that I've come to judge. He said, you got another that judges you. The word that I speak will judge you in the last day. So You give whatever reverence you want to the Word of God, but one way or another, you're going to have something to do with the Word of God. Be small and great. They might be in denial. They might be saying, I refuse to believe this. I'm not really here. This is a dream. They're standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works.
Yeah.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Osama bin Laden, they buried him at sea.
Yeah.
Probably thought they was done with him. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. All the pirates, all the Vikings, all of the people that died at sea, shark bit, whatever. Sea gave up the dead which were in it, death and hell. Delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Let me tell you something, buddy. There's a lot of weeping going on right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of repenting going on right now. There's a lot of please give me another chance going on right now.
That's right.
They had their chance. Our chance is this side of eternity.
Amen. True.
Jesus said, I by myself can do nothing. He said, as I see, I judge. Thank God I got the blood applied.
Amen.
Because He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. He said, as I see, I judge. This side of eternity, you can change your destiny. If you die in your sins, He don't see the blood. As He sees, He judges. If He sees sin, now listen, the blood of His Son Jesus cleanses from all sin. It ain't like I've got a place that's not clean. Praise God, the blood is sufficient. But He said, if I see sin, I'm going to judge sin. These people got caught in sin. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, glad my name's in there, was cast in the lake of fire. Now, we'll finish this verse right here. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and His ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, He's able to abase. Nobody bigger than God. There's nobody that can shake their fist in the face of God and say, I dare you meddle with me, because buddy, He'll call you out. And you'll find out you'll be at a terrible loss. Alright, we'll stop him right there at the end of Daniel chapter 4. That's a pretty tough chapter, but a lot of good right there. Good even for today in that right there. Anybody got any comment about the lesson? Alright, we'll stop it right there. Lord, thank You for the Sunday school lesson.